The Protestant Union, on the other hand, this group of German states which had banded together in 1608, had really had enough. They were promised that if they henceforth remained loyal to the emperor, they would not be attacked, and in exchange, the Protestant Union itself was dissolved. Interestingly enough, this promise was kept. None of the Union states, those Union states who remained loyal to the emperor thereafter, were left alone by the Habsburgs. And it seems to me that this underscores the fairly limited nature of the ambitions of Emperor Ferdinand, at least at this point, and that's an important qualification. Meanwhile, in the fall of 1621, Tilly and the army of the Catholic League had gobbled up the rest of the Palatinate, that upper Palatinate near Bavaria, and occupied it almost without a struggle. And so by early 1622, Frederick had almost no allies left in the field. He had something like three small forces which were still fighting for him. But nevertheless, and it's really quite striking, despite all kinds of entreaties, in particular from his father-in-law, James I of England, that he really needed to stop this, that this had been a horrible mistake, he needed to kind of make good, Frederick V just refused to renounce his pretensions to Bohemia. Instead, on the contrary, he authorized the assembly of an enormous army in his name in Alsace, in what was then the western part of the German Empire, what's now part of France, and he joined it to his other forces. But unfortunately, despite some initial successes, Frederick's troops were quickly crushed by the armies of the Catholic League and the Spanish troops from Flanders operating in the Rhineland. Frederick had now learned his lesson. He was ready to talk. But by now it was the Catholics who had lost interest in negotiation. During the second half of 1622, the Catholic League stormed the last redoubts in the Lower Palatinate, and it was pretty clear that Frederick's obstinacy had been a truly serious mistake. By the year 1622, almost everybody in Germany saw him as a rebel. And I think, again, this is worth underscoring, because at least in the early 1620s, it strikes me that it's extremely misleading to present the Thirty Years' War as some kind of general conflict between the Catholics and the Protestants in Germany. In the early 1620s, it remains a conflict between a legitimately elected emperor and someone who, at least according to the laws of the empire, was a usurper and a rebel. Although, as I've said before, the conflict would not remain at that level for that much longer. At any rate, by early 1623, the Habsburg position was really looking pretty good. In the patrimonial territories, the revolts in Bohemia and the revolts in Austria and the resistance of the estates to the crown had all been completely crushed. The Palatine territories, both the Upper Palatinate near Bavaria and the Lower Palatinate in the Rhine, were occupied either by the Habsburgs or by their allies, and Frederick V's armies had all been defeated and dispersed. Moreover, at least from the point of view of the Spanish Habsburgs, the other partner in the Habsburg coalition, the transalpine corridor between northern Italy and the Rhineland was secure. The Valtelline, after all, had been in Spanish hands since 1620, and now the Palatinate had, if anything, secured the linkages between northern Italy and the Netherlands. What is interesting about the situation at this point, in 1623, is that we have to say that over the next 4 years, Habsburg fortunes move in a kind of contradictory direction. From a military point of view, over the next 4 years, between 1623 and 1627, the Habsburgs would only get stronger. But from a political point of view, the position would actually weaken, and a series of contradictions would begin to emerge in the Habsburg position. In other words, after 1623, Habsburg gains become self-defeating. And the details of the process, which was kind of complicated, needs to be sketched out separately, it seems to me, for the purposes of comprehension, for both Italy and Germany. And this process also illustrates and underscores the limits and the problems of exercising military power in the early modern period. So let's look at Habsburg fortunes in Italy to start off with. The Habsburg intervention in the Valtelline in 1620, when the Austrians had come in from the north and the Spanish from the south, had prompted a kind of anti-Habsburg coalition. It prompted Venice, a traditional Habsburg enemy, the Grey League, that Protestant confederation which had formerly ruled the Valtelline, and the Protestant Swiss cantons to appeal to France, now led by Louis XIII, for help. The Habsburgs weren't listening. The Catholic Valteliners, backed by their Habsburg allies, imposed the so-called Articles of Milan in January of 1622, which attempted to dissolve the Grey League altogether and guaranteed permanent Habsburg access to the valley. But this was too much. It was, in a sense, it had pushed the balance of power too far, and France quickly retaliated. In February of 1623, France, Venice, and Savoy all formed the so-called League of Lyon against Spain. What's interesting to see here, without wanting to get too caught up in the intricate details of the process, is the kind of broader structure of what's going on. All of these powers, France, Venice, and Savoy, are Catholic powers. They're traditional anti-Habsburg forces, And what we can see is happening here is that considerations of simple political power, of a secular balance, is starting to assert itself in tandem with the kind of religious questions which had prompted the Bohemian Revolt. At any rate,